There's more to this gospel than meets the eye. Many times, many sermons, I think, and many people wonder about what kind of star this was. People still are looking to the astronomy to figure out this, or where the country was, where the magi came from, or were they astrologers or kings or magi. So all kinds of questions. Where did they, what route did they come, which route did they go? And, you know, you look at it, there, we don't even know how many of them there were. But I think the point of the story is Matthew puts it in there in very great detail. It only gives the history of the church, but also a real record of our own reactions to Christ at various times in our lives by looking at the reactions of the people around him and what type of worship or gift is appropriate to give Jesus on Epiphany. Many exchange gifts on Epiphany in different parts of the world. And I think also, in addition, we assume that they're all men, and one always sees that, you know, in nativity scenes and things, but I'm sure there were women that came along with this journey. How do I know that? Because they stopped and asked directions, that's why. Now, I tell that joke every year, and you don't remember it, so I'm gonna start recycling my material. Praise God. I'm going to put a tape on and then sit down. That would. I knew a priest that used to do that. At least if I get laryngitis again, I'll have something to do. Well, this gospel is so interesting. There's so many insights in the gospel. The Magi, we have to look at, first of all, who it is that God reveals himself to at the beginning. I don't know what Jesus looked like as a baby, but I don't think he looked any different than other children. If he had a glow or something, you know, everybody in Bethlehem would have been by to see him. And there's no evidence that would have violated all the privacy that the family needed. It requires a revelation from God. That's what St. Paul said in the second reading. It has been revealed to me. That God exists is very obvious, I think. That there is an intelligence to the world and the creation is very obvious to most people throughout history, that there's something beyond what we see. Atheism is a very modern phenomenon, and I think it's a very ignorant one. But on the other hand, who God is, that he loves us, what is the role of evil in the world, that Jesus, this all has to be revealed by God. Our senses cannot discern who God is. And so we find that the first one, that the angels come and open up heaven, because when they show up, it's always heaven. And this is to the shepherds, the lowest caste, we said at Christmas, shepherds and kings. And then these magi, who are Gentiles, they're not Jewish, they don't know the Jewish God, we don't know what their religion was. They obviously were into the stars, as many ancient people were. They were doing the best they could. God had not revealed himself to them, but they were seekers. They were genuinely seeking God without having the answers. But they did know their astronomy, and God used astronomy. He used what knowledge they did have to guide them to the truth. So here we have people outside the Jewish faith, and the lowest people, those who were not in the political sphere or the wealthy or the people with power, not to say that they're not called also, but these are the two groups that have been the most open throughout history to Christ's presence. Those in need of something, those who don't have, those who know that they have need of God on the one hand, and the Gentiles, which is all of us mostly. So that's the history of the church, right at the very beginning of the gospel story. So they start out, and they're following their star. You know, I was thinking, most of us make New Year's resolutions. I made some at the beginning of Advent. They didn't work out too well. I always give up complaining, and then I complain it's too hard and blow it on the second day, you know, that kind of thing. But I think a resolution should be revisited week after week until we get it down and not give up when if you find one you didn't do. Because that's really part of the Christian journey is letting the Spirit speak to us about what needs to grow. But we all follow various stars in our lives, meaning goals. Our faith is a star. See, a star represents an angel and also heaven and eternal life in the Bible. So we're following a star, which is God's vision for us. What's my mission in life? And sometimes we get a little off track. You know, that the wise men or the magi, the star only took them so far. You ever wonder why they had to stop in Jerusalem? They were only guided to Israel. After that, they had to ask the people in authority. And this is true for us as well. The Lord does not permit us to be a church of one, or to be a person that has only themselves for a guide is going to go off a cliff at some point. We often choose goals that aren't appropriate. I've had a number of goals I've had over the years. I haven't been a priest all my life, and God guided me from one to the other. And at various times, we have to ask the church, the scriptures, our teachers. He speaks through supervisors at work, through family and friends and people that say unkind things, but from that, we learn that something does need correcting. And through all these ways, spiritual advisors, books that we read, if we just follow our conscience, we have to ask ourselves, what's forming it? And God always requires us to work with others. We're human beings in relationship. And this is exactly what we see the Magi doing. They have to go and ask the people in authority. We've seen the star. What does it mean? We know a king has risen. Now we look at the reactions of people. This is very interesting because these reactions are what we see to Christ throughout human history. And we see them in ourselves at various times in our lives, some more than others. The first one that hears about this are the chief priests and scribes and religious leaders. You would think they would be interested. It said all of Jerusalem was alarmed by this. They were all waiting for a Messiah. After all, the Romans had recently taken over the country. They wanted political freedom. And they suddenly, here come these mysterious diplomats coming to establish diplomatic relationships with the new king. So they say, well, he's born in Bethlehem in Judea. This is what the scriptures say. But what's interesting is you don't see, not in the Bible, any of these people going in search of Christ in Bethlehem. It quickly passes. They're not interested. They go back to their religious routine. Nothing changes. They are, in the end, indifferent to Christ. He comes, God gives them a sign, and they don't pay any attention. And sometimes we react this way as well. God has done something great. We don't notice it, or we don't follow through with what God had hoped that we would do. Another chance will come. But that sign, those wise men went on, and the high priests, they never did catch on. Every sign God sent them went right by them. This is true for a lot of people, and sometimes it's true for each of us. So there's also a group of people who are clueless. They're going about their lives. They don't know what's going on. They've never heard of this. Even Jesus' life and death, they never hear. They are ignorant. It's called invincible ignorance. They, through no fault of their own, they have not heard the good news. Even when Christ is passing through Jerusalem 33 years later, people are sitting at cafes, you know, having something to eat or something, and Christ is passing by, carrying his cross. They don't know who he is. It's not that they don't care. They don't know who he is. And today there are people in the world who've never heard the good news. And sometimes we don't hear. We're so out of touch. We're so distracted that God's message completely passes us by. And then we have Herod's reaction. Herod's a really interesting character. He was half Jewish and half not Jewish. He was a product of a mixed marriage. The Jews mistrusted him. He was like a Samaritan, half pagan, appointed by the Romans, not of the Davidic dynasty, an illegitimate king in the eyes of the Jewish people, appointed by the Romans, working for the enemy. He worked very hard to be ingratiated with the people, rebuilt the temple, which was under construction when Christ was born, just completed right after he died, and, it was just completed at the right before it was destroyed. And yet he was never accepted. And history tells us that this King Herod actually put many of his own relatives to death, his own children, because they were a threat to his kingship, he thought. So he hears about this child. Of course, being a little unbalanced and not without merit worrying about a legitimate Davidic king being born, wants to kill him. Sometimes we react with hostility to what Christ is saying to us without realizing that Christ is guiding us to health and the truth. We see, some people see him as a threat to their way of life or to their freedom, when in fact he's saving them from ultimate ruin, because the star they're following does not lead to life, but only a temporary joy. They mistrust him because they don't see how loving he is. And sometimes we are in this camp also, maybe not outright hatred, but dislike of where Christ has led us or what he's permitted. But then we find the Magi, who I don't know what they were expecting, but they found Mary. Joseph is not in the scene in this story. Maybe he's out working. They don't find Mary and Jesus in a cave, but in a house. So they've moved. The manger scenes are not correct. They moved to better accommodations, but they're still in Bethlehem. We don't know how much time went by between birth and Kings. They find Mary in humble accommodations with Jesus, and they bow down and worship. And this is also a reaction that we have to Christ. So all four of these are present in world history and in ourselves. They also show us what kind of gifts that are pleasing to God. So here we have kind of a summary of the spiritual life as well. Gold, of course, gold represents a gift to a king. Frankincense, a priest or worship. Myrrh, somebody that's going to die. It's an odd gift to give a baby, especially the third one. When we give God gold, it's something precious, something God asks that may be very dear to us, but we offer as a sacrifice. This shows up particularly when we do something for others that we don't get an immediate reward for. We do it out of love. See, this is for Christ. Any sort of thing like this, sometimes it's tithing or something, but it's often a gift of time or something dear. Incense, frankincense, this is a symbol of the prayers that we offer to God. Anything that's offered from the heart is always pleasing to God. The Mass is always pleasing to God, no matter how it actually goes, because it is Christ's own sacrifice. It is his body and blood, and this is always pleasing to Jesus. So it's always a gift of incense that is pleasing in his sight. And then myrrh, of course, represents this the death to ourselves that is always part of a Christian walk, because that's how we find life. I must decrease and he must increase, says St. John the Baptist. So we finally find, when we reach the end of the story, we find that the Magi are still guiding us on our own journey, because after all, as I say so often, their journey, we find when we finish the story, is really our own journey. And it is that when we have a true encounter with God or Jesus, ultimately, it's going to leave us changed if it was a real encounter. Sooner or later, something will change. We see the Magi warned in a dream not to return to Herod. They go home by another route. They're going to return home, but they're changed as a result. We too have our journey. The star leads somewhere. The home we're headed to is heaven. The journey is going to change with each encounter with Christ throughout our lives. He's constantly offering us course corrections. So we too are departing from Mass today, for example, by another way. Another way. That's the Spirit speaking. So we too are with the Magi then. We too encounter all the different reactions to Jesus around us and the people in our lives, as well as within us. We find that when we are like the shepherds, humble, or like the pagans or the kings, open to the Spirit speaking through the world events and the stars, if you will, that Christ can speak to us when we open our eyes. And we find that they too give us the gifts that we can offer God, and then we return changed by the encounter that we've had with Jesus.